Hi, welcome to Soul Revolution. We believe that you are the change wherever you are. If you like to know more about us, who we are and what we do, find us on Facebook as Soul Revolution. We are so thrilled to share this message with you today.
We live in a world where the word relationships is thoroughly misinterpreted. We talk about relationships in our society with an emphasis on romantic relationships. But relationships are much beyond that. As we are focusing on habits and relationship today, I felt the need of clarifying what relationships are before we talk about habits of building good relationships. So this is what relationship is. A little research into a few dictionaries. Relationship is the way in which two or more people or things are connected, or it is the state of being connected. It is also the way in which two or more people or groups regard and behave towards each other. Okay, so it's not just romantic relationships that relationships are all about. It's how two or more people are connected to each other and how they regard and behave towards each other. Good relationships share a huge impact on our mental health and happiness. Good relationships, which include family, friends, co-workers, relieve stress, provide comfort and joy, and prevent loneliness and isolation. So these are some research findings that I came across. Research says that developing good relationships can also have a powerful impact on our physical health. Health science says that, listen to this, lack of healthy relationships may cause as much threat to health as smoking or acute drinking. Isn't that interesting? Just the same effect smoking or drinking can cause to us. That's the same effect lack of good relationships can cause to us. Relationships are also tied to longevity. Now, what is longevity? It's the number of years we live here on earth. One Swedish study found that along with physical activity, maintaining a rich network of friends can add significant years to our lives. So go find as much friends as possible, maintain it, you may live long. So it is found that real success at all multiple levels is impossible without building great relationships. But the sad thing is, good, healthy relationships don't just happen. Unfortunately, most people are not born with natural abilities to develop and build great relationships. Building good relationships require a lot of effort. There are skills like for any other that can be learned and mastered if we recognize and take the time and effort to develop them. We can all become better relationship builders just by clearing our mind a little bit and practicing a few basic necessary acts. So this evening, what I'm going to tell you are some simple practical ways to improve our relationship with people around us through our everyday actions. So are you ready for that? And all I would require all of you to do is, if you have a mobile phone, please take it out. Because by the end of each point, I might do a little bit of an assessment, or I might encourage you to assess yourself. If you do not have a mobile phone, and if you feel you don't like using mobile phones in the church, take a piece of paper and a pen. You can do it in the paper as well. So are you ready with me? If you're ready with me, just wave it to me. Yeah, so shall we go ahead? Some simple practical ways to improve relationship through our daily interactions and everyday actions. And I have followed the Bible as my primary text to find out these simple practical ways. What is our first point? The first point is very simple: put others first. So can you look at your neighbor and say, put others first? Yeah. So put others first. The best way to start off on the right foot is to put others first. The most basic way to do that is to practice the so-called golden rule that is mentioned in the Bible. In Luke 6:31, it says a very simple principle. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This simply means to put others first, you have to treat the other person with the same concern and kindness you would like them to show toward you. And this is quite a difficult task. It may not be as easy as it is said, because you know what? Every human being, you and I, sitting right in this room, is selfish by nature. Like the one which you just saw, even at the face of death, he was running after that strawberry or cherry or whatever you call it. Okay? So it's not as easy as it is said, because most of us are selfish by nature. We think we are the most important person and we want our needs and wants to be fulfilled first. My pain is the biggest. My problem is the greatest. My victory is the best. And there is this series of my. And I want this. I want that. My need needs to be met. So we all live in a bubble. And you know what's that bubble called? The I, me, my bubble. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the I, me, my bubble. That's where I live. Say, that's where I live. Say, I, me, my bubble. That's where I live. Isn't that right? You're all staring at me. Okay? Now, that's where we all live. That's the bubble that we live in. And that is why the Bible reminds us in a book called Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And I like the way it is said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Isn't that too much, considering others better than yourself? Don't look out only for your interests, but take an interest in others too. If you take that mindset into all your interactions, just imagine that I consider others better than myself. I do not look out into my own interest, but I take time to look into interests of others. If you take that mindset into all your interactions on a daily basis, you can't go wrong. Now, probably some of you are asking me, what should I do to put others first? What should I do so that I do to others what I want others to do to me? What should I do to consider the other person better than myself and take interest in them? And I've always learned, with a little success in my life, I don't think I have succeeded very much, but a little bit of my experience, I've learned the best way to consider other person better than myself or take interest in the other person is to step in without being asked. Now, what does that mean? You know, people who build extraordinary relationships pay close attention so that they can tell exactly when the other person is struggling. I use the word pay close attention so that they can tell exactly when the other person is struggling. So they may offer help just like we offer help, but not in a general way. What do I mean by offering help in a general way? We all have come across this. Friends who tell us, or we have told others, is there something I can do to help you? And what is the response that you get usually? No, 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 it is okay, I'm fine, I think I can handle. Can you understand what I'm saying? When you ask in a very general way, is there something I can do to help you? I've very rarely got an answer, yes, unless it is my husband or my children. When I've asked anybody beyond that, usually the answer I get is, oh, no, 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 Ninaka, it's fine, I'm okay, I can handle it. So that's a very general way of asking. But people who are truly relational builders, they come up with specific ways they can help. And when they have discovered specific ways to help, they push past the reflexive of no, I am okay objectives. And they can roll up their sleeves and make a difference in the other person's life. Not because they want to build better relationships. These people who go out of the way to help, their aim is not to build better relationship. Although that is certainly the result, but they do it with no background intention. They do it just because they care. Friends, a little while ago I said, most of us are selfish by nature. But to care without being asked to care for is the only antidote for human selfishness. To care without being asked to care for is the only antidote for our human selfishness. People who put others first are not out to impress anybody. They are just out to care. And they just genuinely care. So if you have your mobile phones with you, before we go on to our second point, I want you to take a few seconds and write down at least two people, wherever it may be, in your office, school, it could be the shop that is close by, wherever it may be, somewhere in your community, two people you want to go out of the way to help this week. So your time starts now. You take the next few seconds to write down the names of two people whom you want to go out of the way and care for. Looking at my face, does that mean you want to help me? So look right into your mobile phones and do that. Or your paper or pen. Two people you want to step up to and help without being asked. So what was our first point? I want you to answer back, okay? What was our first point? Put others first. Now moving on to our second point, it says, leave behind your emotional baggages. Few things weigh as much as old hurts and offenses carried day after day in a person's life. If you truly want to enjoy your time with other people, you definitely got to get rid of that kind of stuff. Which kind of stuff? The old hurts and offenses. The truth is, you can't keep score of old wrongs on one hand and expect to make great relationships on the other hand. So I want to prove this to you a little bit, okay? And I want to do it with an illustration. Some of you may already have seen this illustration or know this illustration. So I want a volunteer. What's your name? You seem quite impressive with your hair. Come forward. Come. Put your hands together for him, okay? Come. Am I embarrassing you? Are you okay? Okay. What's your name?
Benison.
So what do you do, Benison?
Studying student.
Where?
Filmmaking.
So can you put your hands together for Benison? I just called him up, okay? Yeah. So do you know how to run? So I'll make you do something. This is not to embarrass you, but I'm trying to drive a point to all these people. So if you cooperate with me, you are a part of this message. You're reaching out to all these people in this. So what I want you to do is, I want you to go all around this place and come back, but not walk. I want you to run. So can you cheer it for Benison? Here goes Benison. Run. Yes. No, not there. Maybe here. This way. So let's start it all over again. Yeah, see? That's right. Do you want to do that again to prove it? No. So this time I'll give you a second chance, but you're not going to run like that. I have some gifts for you. Put it one by one on your back. Cheer it for Benison. Benison, I want you to run faster than before. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Venison, I think you can do it once more. He said, no, it's okay. All right. Okay, put your hands together for Venison. Now, this was not to check Venison's caliber. What do you do every day to build your stamina?
I run morning.
See, he runs every day morning. But have you run, have you ever done your exercises with heavy things on your back? Sometimes. How does it feel? So I call the right person, right? Yeah. Which is easier? To run just like that or to run with bags?
Just like that.
And in terms of time to reach back to this place, which is faster?
To run freely.
To run freely? Running with bag takes more time unless you practice a little bit. But running with bag is more painful, more stressful and takes more time. Okay, so he got the point back to me. Thank you, Venison. Listen to me very carefully. What was the point that I was driving at? The bags right here was nothing but your old hurts and your offenses. You will never reach your destination the same time or with the same easiness as you would have reached without these bags. Your hurts and your offenses will always slow your pace down in life. It slows you down. It just slows you down. If someone has hurt you, you need to just address it. Get it out on the table if you want to, then do it right away. Resolve it and get beyond it. Don't run with it. Don't run with it. It's painful. It is time consuming. It is hurting. And you become less and less. You become slower and slower. And if there is something that's not worth bringing up, just forget it. Just loosen yourself out of it and move on. And that is what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Forgetting what is behind. You know, every time you hold that hurt against a person, you're hurting yourself. You're wasting your time. You are just imprisoning yourself. And the only answer is forgetting what is behind, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. So one side is definitely leaving your baggage behind. The other side of leaving your emotional baggage behind is to realize when you have acted poorly. It's one thing that somebody has hurt you. It's another thing if you have hurt someone. Most of us apologize when our actions or words are called into question. But very few apologize before they are asked to. Say sorry, we tell our children, no? Before they are asked to. Or even before anyone notices they should. Now listen to me very carefully. People who take the blame, who say they are sorry, and explain why they are sorry, and who don't try to push any of the blame back on to others. Those are the people everyone wants in their lives because they instantly turn a big mistake into a bump in the road rather than make it a permanent roadblock. Do you get what I'm saying? It's one thing to say sorry and walk off. It's another thing to say sorry, wait there, take up the blame, say where you went wrong, say, and tell that this is my mistake. to wait there till you have said that. Such people are most acceptable. So now my action two for this is take up your mobile phones. And I want you to write down at least two people. I'm sure all of us are hurt in this room. All of us are carrying some kind of a heavy baggage like this. Be honest to yourself. Write down the names of those two people who have hurt you very, very badly. And to this day, you're holding that offense, that hurt. And I want you to write next to it that this week, you will take time to let go of this baggage and run freely. That's one. And second, if you have reacted poorly to someone and there is this big burden in your heart regarding that, I want you to take time this week. Write the name of that person towards whom you have reacted very badly. I want you to take time this week to be bold enough to go up and say sorry, not just say sorry and walk back, but to say, this is where I went wrong. This is my blame. Take up the blame. Explain where you went wrong and then ask sorry. So I want you to do that. So the next few minutes, next few seconds, I want you to do two things. One is anybody who has hurt you, two names, people who have hurt you. This week, you're going to take time to let go of those hurts. Secondly, two people whom you need to tell sorry to. Not just tell sorry, but give an explanation to why you acted poorly. So take the next few seconds, write those names, and that activity remains for the week for you. Every time you look at me, I feel I'm the person. Anyway, go ahead. All right, moving on. So we talked about putting others first. Secondly, leaving the emotional baggage. And thirdly, give time to your most valuable relationships. Now, what is your most valuable relationships? Most of us, if you evaluate, give away our relational energy on a first-come, first-served basis. Whoever gets our first attention gobbles up our time and relational energy. And that is why most of us have nothing much to give when we get home from our school or college or workplace. I'm sure many of you will agree that. But on the other hand, I want you to just understand this. Our family provides the most valuable relationships in our life. They should come first as we plan how to spend our time. Only after that should come our next most important relationships. Let me take you through some key verses in the Bible. Key verses which talks about what it is to invest in our family. If there are children sitting in this room of any age, and if your parents are still alive, I want you to listen to this very carefully. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. I'm talking to children, sons and daughters. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. And I want you to listen to the next half. This is the commandment with a promise. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the only commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. And you will have a long life on earth. For some of you, this is not to offend you. For some of you, if things are not going well with you, not everything that goes wrong, but for some of you, things are not going well with you just because you have not given the due honor to your parents. Sorry if I offended some of you, but mark my words. It's not because of anything else. You are a bright student. You are talented, you are gifted, but things are not going well in my life. Just because you have forgotten to give the due honor to your parents. Moving on, if there are parents sitting in this room, I know there are very few of you, but if you are a parent, if you are a mother or a father, this is what I want you to listen. Proverbs 22:6 says, teach children how they should live and they will remember it all their life. Let me move on because there are not many parents here. But let me talk to husbands and wives sitting in this room. The Bible clearly says in Ephesians 5:33. So again I say, Paul says, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And wife must respect her husband. If you're asking me, how do I give value to the most important relationship? How do I give value to my family? Just follow this. If you're a child, if you're a son or a daughter, take time to honor your parents. If you're a parent, take time to teach your children the way they should go. If you're a husband, start loving your wife. And if you're a wife, start respecting your husband. That's the only way you can add value inside your family. I want you to take your next few seconds, look back into your mobile or your paper and say, how am I going to add value to my family? Some of you are saying, I'm away from my family. I'm staying here in a hostel. It's fine. Call up your mother. Call up your dad. Apologize for the way you have behaved with them. Let them know that they mean the world to you. And I want you to take that as a decision that you're going to do that this week. Write it down in your mobile. Type it down in your mobile. Write it down in your paper. So when you go back, you'll remember to do it. How am I going to add value to my family? What am I going to do about it? So we started off by saying, put others first. Then second, leave behind your emotional baggages. Third, give time to your most valuable relationship. And what's that valuable relationship? The family. And fourth, serve others gladly. I once heard an airline executive explain how difficult it is to hire and train people in this industry. He said that service is the only thing they have to sell, but it is the toughest thing to teach because nobody wants to be taught as a servant. Isn't that right? Yeah. Helen Keller said, life is an exciting business and the most exciting when lived for others. And I think that's true. Because I came across this beautiful verse in Colossians 3:23 and 24, and I couldn't find anything better than this. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, which means if you are a student, work willingly at your studies. If you are a professional, work willingly in your office. If you are a doctor, work willingly as a doctor. If you are a teacher, work willingly to teach. If you are a bus driver, drive the bus with all your heart. Work willingly at whatever you do. And I like the second part, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for the people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. You know, actually, I like the verse which is a little above this, which I have not put down. But it says, just before work willingly at whatever you do, this is what it says. It says, try to please them. Who are them? If you are a teacher, your superior. If you are working in a corporate sector, your boss in the corporate sector. If you are a student, the teachers. Okay, try to please them all the time. Not just when they are watching you, but even when they are not watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear for the Lord. It's quite good to do good when people are watching you. We've all done that. We are all experts in that. But what when people are not watching you? Do you work willingly at what you do? Do I work willingly at what I do? As though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Hebrews 13:6 says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are sacrifices that pleases God. The person who builds great relationship doesn't think about what he or she wants. He or she starts by thinking about what they can give or how they can serve. They see giving or serving as the best way to establish a real relationship. They approach building relationship as if it's all about the other person and it's not about them. And in time, when they continue doing this, when it's all about the other person and not about them, in time they make real valuable connections. You know, friends, day by day, I am more and more convinced that adding value to others' life is the greatest thing we can do in our life. After we are gone, that's probably the only thing people will remember us for. The things that we did for them. So when we serve, let's serve cheerfully and with the greatest impact. Let's get back to our action on your mobile phones and paper. What are you going to do this week, very specially for your superior? So which means as a student, what are you going to do to make it special for your teacher? What are you going to do to add value to your teacher's life or your professor's life? If you're working in a company, what are you going to do to add value this week to your boss's life? It may be nothing to do with the papers or the work that your boss has given to you, because that's what you're expected to do. But what are you going to do to add value to your boss's life this week? Did you get what I said? So take a few seconds to think about it and write it down, and that's an action for the week. Serve others gladly. Moving on to our last point. So we started off by saying, put others first. Leave behind your emotional baggages. Give time to your most valuable relationship, that's your family. Serve others gladly, even when nobody is watching you. And last, express love and appreciation, not in between, but often. Often is the word. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, often. Okay? John Maxwell, one of our motivational speakers, after he had a heart attack, a lot of people asked him, what was his dominant emotion post the heart attack? They asked him, was it fear, panic, or umpteen number of questions? And John Maxwell's answer surprised many of them. He said, my answer surprised many of them. It really surprised me. What was my dominant emotion after the heart attack? It was love. More than anything else in those moments of pain, when I wasn't sure whether I would live or die, I wanted to tell the people closest to me how much I love them. my family, the people who work with me, long-time friends. I learned that you can't tell the people you love how much you love them too often. That's quite true, isn't it? People whom you love, you don't quite often tell them that you love them. You take it for granted. Many people, including me, you know, think and believe that the best way they can help others is to criticize or point out their mistakes and to give them a benefit of our wisdom. But over the years, something that we have been learning is the best way to help people is to see the best in them. Everyone loves unexpected praises. It's like getting flowers, not because it's Valentine's Day, but just like that. Praise helps other people feel better about themselves and lets them know you are thinking about them. So even as I conclude, I leave you with this challenge. Take a little time every day to do something nice, memorable, or good for someone you know. Not because you are expected to, but simply because you can. And when you do it, your relationships actually improve drastically. I want you to go back to each of those lists that you made in your paper or in your mobile phone under each heading. The first one, we started with put others first. Then we went on to say, leave behind your emotional baggages. Give time to your most valuable relationships. Serve others gladly. Express love and appreciation often. Simple points, simple practical steps. But what I discovered is, for each of these points to be practical, you need boldness. I'm not saying about being aggressive, but you need to break the bubble of I, me, and my to go out and do each of this. If you remain in your comfort zone and if you are happy about who you are, this is not for you. This is only for those who want to move out of that bubble of I, me, and my, break out of it, go out of their comfort zone, and tell someone that they mean the world to you.
Thanks again for tuning in for another message from Soul Revolution. You can do us a huge favor by rating, reviewing, and sharing this message with your friends. We would love to hear from you on how this message has touched your life. Feel free to message us on Facebook. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have a great week ahead.